I could do opera.
I don't think you could do opera.
I was told I could do opera.
And did you have lessons?
Yeah.
And what happened?
I can't do fucking opera.
Right, well, I suppose.
But did you, I haven't got the time.
It's like, if you do opera, it's like morning, noon, and night. It's worse than swimming. Don't talk to me about fucking swimming.
But you have to practice, you mean?
I don't think fast swimmers should be allowed in the slow lane. I was overtaken 7 times today, and I don't like it.
What about slow swimmers in the fast lane?
Oh, they're dicks. Why would you get in the fast lane with all them dolphins?
To avoid the children and the headmistress.
No, there's not in the pool I use. There's no wanes. It doesn't happen.
I only use a pool in the winter. In the summer, I'm in
You're
the sea.
You're in the sea.
Yeah, yeah. You don't get any of that trouble.
Have you ever seen a fish?
Of course I've seen a fish.
No, while swimming.
That's why I don't eat them.
Underneath
and you know what? Once I got into trouble, I swam a wee bit too far out. No,
you
no.
Swam too far out? What
too
happened?
Far out.
Seals?
I started panicking, and a load of fish came up to me and they said, Jamesy, we'll help you out. You don't eat us. And they lifted me up and took me back in.
They lifted you up?
They did.
On their shoulders.
Like a mermaid.
The shoulder of the herring.
It was beautiful. It was a really beautiful occasion. Hello, Stephen. Are you all right?
Yeah. Hi, James. How are you?
I'm okay. Welcome to 4630.
Hi, Phil.
Hello. I'm Enrico Caruso.
I was watching telly last night.
Oh, here it comes. The boast.
The gold.
I've got a telly, like it's more than 12 inches, less than 28. I don't know, I'm not sure.
Just a wee old one.
Yeah, it's just a telly. But I was watching it last night, and it was the Labour...
Oh, no, don't talk about Brexit. You're not going to talk about
Brexit. I
wasn't
going to talk about Brexit. No, I was just talking about the leadership contest.
Oh, right, okay.
All I was going to say was that I hadn't realised how nice Emily Thornberry's voice is. And I was thinking she must have had vocal training. And it was when you were talking about...
So you're not wanting her to do the podcast, are you?
Get Emily Thornberry on.
She would make a really nice podcast.
What sort of voice is it? How do you mean it's a nice voice? What do you mean? Describe it.
I guess it's a bit like
if
yours.
If it was a fruit, what fruit would it be?
A persimmon.
Ooh. High end.
Now, she James would say is, persimmon
James is
really
already
nicely.
Making the face and the noise. And we're not even... Normally he does this round about the second record.
Face and noise of what?
The face and the noise. You've got this thing you do where you breathe through your nose and you look around, you look all fidgety.
I just want to go home. I'm thinking... This,
already?
It's too cold
horrible.
In here.
It's horrible. No, I'm quite happy to be here, actually.
Good. Hey, where are we just now? Do you want... I'm going to tell everybody where we are.
Well, you tell them.
Yep.
We're in Futtle Brewery.
Yay!
Upstairs. And we've been making beer.
Hooray for beer.
And Stephen brews beer here, and he also has a record shop. Is it open now?
It'll be open on Saturday.
It's open from this Saturday.
Yeah.
What day is it today? Thursday?
Thursday night.
Yeah. So I'll probably put this out on Friday. So it'll be open tomorrow, folks.
Nice.
Briefly. Actually, it's open Sunday.
To Saint-Monon, as we call it.
Saint-Monon. Saint-Andrés. That's what we used to call St. Andrews. Saint-Andrés.
Mm.
Do you want to play a record?
I think some records should be played.
Shall we play a record? Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. Riley.
What we do.
Switch stuff off as well.
And stop.
Yeah, that's fine.
So that was from the album on the record or off the record? Off the record. That's Neil Innes and a track called Them, which your more observant listeners. Hello. It was on the. There was an animated video to that on the Innes Book of Records. Do you remember the Innes Book? Well, you wouldn't. You're 12. The Innes Book of Records, James?
No, I'm too young again.
You're too young again. The Innes Book of Records. Basically, Monty Python and Fawlty Towers were cancelled and Rutland Weekend Television stopped being made when Eric Idle went to America. And the BBC Two had kind of free half-hour comedy slots. And Neil Innes made... Someone from America told me the other night, four series. I only remember two of them. But the Innes Book of Records was basically... this is before MTV. It was a half-hour long like show, and it was just Neil Innes songs. And for every song, he made a little weird promo video, and they kind of had a... Some of them had a sort of narrative arc. Some shows did, some shows didn't. And he'd just make these funny videos for his songs, and there are about six songs a week. And that was the show.
Have you seen them?
I saw them when I was a young... I used to go and see Neil Innes a lot in the 80s when I was a teenager. He toured exhaustively in the 80s. And we lost him on the 30th of December last year, which was horrible. I was in a band with him called the Idiot Bastard Band, him and Aid Edmondson and Roland Riveron.
What was the band called?
The Idiot Bastard Band. And we used to just play comedy songs that we liked and songs that we'd written that were funny. So we were just like a knockabout fun band. We played loads of different instruments. That was our thing. So I played bass, guitar, ukulele. Neil was the keyboard and dots reader, so he played everything. But, yeah, and we played all manner of stuff. Neil, of course, played his own compositions, but we did covers of things by sort of that New Zealand duo, Flight of the Conchords. I did that. So there's a song by them called Carol Brown. We did a cover of that. Songs by They Might Be Giants. Jake Thackeray. I used to do a version of Isabel Makes Love Upon National Monuments, which is a song that I absolutely love. Yeah, and of course I had a stint in the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band because of Neil Innes. Neil invited me and Aid to be Viv Stanchel in the reformed 40th anniversary Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. So I'm eternally grateful to that man. And also he kind of taught me a lot about, you know, behaviour as an artist, and that what we do isn't just, you know, when you're in comedy, there's a you kind of, it's the dirty discipline, isn't it? There's something filthy or cheap about it, but it's actually, he was class all the way, that man. Yeah. And I miss him. Anyway, yeah. So that's the first of two sad bits in this podcast. Sorry, I'm just bringing the death to the room, but I'm going to do it again.
Have you got two sad bits?
I've got two sad bits. But yeah, so yes, that record from, and it's, if you can, it's difficult to get off the record, but Neil's stuff is, it's on Spotify, the Scottish listening service, as we call it.
Yeah, it's a signed copy, I see, as well.
Yeah, it is. That's the first thing of his that I had that I ever got signed.
Did you get signed by him whilst you were working with him?
No, it was when I first interviewed him. He was one of the most, I was absolutely desperate. When I had a radio show on GLR, I was absolutely desperate to meet him. So right. I said, let's get Neil Innes on. I think we saw that he was doing a gig somewhere in London. We said, let's get him on. And so I managed to sort of chat to him and interview him, and he just lovely.
And he got on well.
And we became sort of friends. I used to stay at his house whenever I was gigging in Ipswich. He used to live in East Anglia. And then him and his wife Yvonne moved to France eventually. Yeah, he had a lovely family, and his sons and grandkids who adored him. And he was, lovely man.
Was he pals with Paul McCartney?
He was really good pals with George Harrison.
Right. Okay.
Him and George were really close mates. You know, because George, I believe George kind of helped them out.
Right,
when he was writing Ruttle songs, he was pinging them back between George and going, would you have done this?
Mm-hmm.
And George was going, yeah, or no, or, you know, that would have had a bit of this on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ruttles were so good because, you know, basically they were written with Beatles consultant around the corner. Yeah. Nice man. Lovely man. Brilliant man. Dig out his music. It's extraordinary. His solo stuff is great. The really, really sad thing is he got totally screwed over by one of these, you know, the funding an album by Pledge, I think Pledge Music.
Yeah.
He got Pledge Music. Did a bunch of artists get done by Pledge Music?
Hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah, Neil was one of them.
Right, wow.
He got his album and he was about to release a new album. He got it completely funded and then Pledge Music happened.
I don't know about this. Did something go wrong with Pledge Music?
Well, they went bust.
Really?
Yeah.
While stuff had been funded.
And then I believe the last, because I came off Twitter, so I didn't see what was happening, because he used to kind of tweet about how the funding thing was going. So I knew he'd found an alternative thing, and he was doing what he could to make it up to the people that had pledged. He was kind of was trying to get a plan in action for helping, you know, trying to just make it up to these people that have pledged loads of money to make his album. And so he'd sorted that out, and he was on the cusp of being about to release a new album this year. It was going to be this spring. And
so there might be stuff recorded.
There is. Oh God, there is. There's loads of stuff.
He's probably, I would imagine he's probably the kind of person who has a huge unreleased back catalogue of recordings.
It's difficult to know. I mean, there's a very, very lovely chap in the States called Ken Plume, who's this kind of enthusiast, comedy enthusiast and stuff. I'm a big fan of Neil's, and was a friend of Neil's as well, and he knows more about like the other night when we were chatting, you know, he kind of...
Are you saying we should be having... Ken should be on the road, and you not qualified to...
more about whiskey branding than me. So, Ken... and Ken's got an extensive archive of stuff. So I imagine, you're right. I imagine there is a load of stuff. Were you familiar with the Bonzos? A fan at all, James?
No, I didn't know them at all. I have to confess, I'm not great with humour and music. The two that I've kind of steered towards in the past would be Ivor Cutler and Half Man Half Biscuit. Cutler, for me, I've always preferred his darker stuff.
Yeah.
And I've always preferred the stuff where it hasn't got comedy noises in the background.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, there was, you know, like Ted Chippington and things like that. I had a little soft spot for, but I've never really pursued.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. That's the thing is that there's an interesting kind of thing about comedy and music is people very often, they're a comedy band, you sort of switch off. And I wouldn't call Half Man Half Biscuit a comedy band, even though they are funny. I think they're a band who write funny songs, which is a different thing. I think comedy bands are the Barren Knights. They're writing about the Peak District.
Right,
you know, they're not writing about stuff that a lot of people know a lot about. Their frames of reference are extraordinarily bleak and contemporary. I think if you were to say, right, there's going to be a time capsule to explain what Britain was like towards the end of the 20th century, I'd just put in all the Half Man Half Biscuit albums. If you want to know what Britain's really like, listen to Half Man Half Biscuit. That's it. That's culturally, that's what, if you want to know what, you know, England, I'd say not Britain, England.
And just a part, they're of, a really just a part English. Of England as well, right?
No, no, I think they're about broader English culture, oh, really? Than just where they live. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, they focus as well. They're keen walkers.
Were you into that stuff, Stephen? Into kind of, what we said, people write funny songs, not funny bands or whatever it was?
No. I'm trying to think of any. No, Bill Cosby, you're not allowed to like anymore.
It's nothing to do with me.
How much music did he do?
Bill Cosby did loads of music.
He Bill Cosby invented 9/8. You know the time signature 9/8. He was the first person to record 9/8.
Now play some records. play some records quick.
It's not on. Hang on.
People that have let the problems of today lead them to conclude that for them life is not the way. But every problem has an answer. If yours you cannot find, you should talk it over to him. He'll give you peace of mind. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God. Walk alone without a friend, never communicating with the one who lives within, forgetting all about the one who never lets you down. And you can talk to him, he's always around. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with my God. Oh yeah. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, he's the only free psychiatrist known throughout the world. Yes, he is. And he can solve the problems of all men and women. Now when you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God, yeah. That's all you gotta do. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God, yeah, yeah, yeah. Take a gun in your hand and think you're a man, but you better take time out and have a talk with God, yeah.
From the album Erg, A Music War, which came out on A&M in about 1980-81, something like that. That was recorded at the Rainbow Theatre in Finsbury Park, which is now a church. And that was the live version of He'd Send in the Army. Extraordinary guitar work there from Andy Gill from the Gang of Four, who we lost recently as well.
That's and again... Again, he was a friend of yours.
A mate of mine, yeah, yeah. It's one of the most extraordinary things of my life. It's like he came to see me in Hairspray, and I remember being on stage thinking, and I'm wearing a big spangly red dress, singing, "You can't stop the beat," and I'm thinking, one of the Gang of Four's watching me doing this.
Yeah.
Is that why you weren't
against angriest political band in Leeds?
Was it the same red dress you're wearing this evening?
Yeah, I mean, is that why
it's this
you're
one? It's this exact one as a tribute.
No, it's you.
It's nice. So yeah, and incredibly influential guitar player. Just that kind of. I mean, obviously, you can follow the line through from Wilco Johnson. If you've watched Wilco Johnson live, you saw the Feel Goods live, or if you watch Oil City Confidential, you people out there, you got nothing better to do. You listen to a podcast. Go on to the YouTube and check out. So watch some Wilco Johnson, early Wilco Johnson Feel Goods. Then watch some Gang of Four and see Andy Gill kind of took the Wilco Johnson thing in a different direction.
But and Wilco Johnson always mentions the guy from the Pirates. What was that guy's name?
Oh, Mick Green.
Mick Green, that's right.
That's Mick Green is why Wilco Johnson plays a Telecaster.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And just that choppy...
plectrum.
Like that is the flailing hand. So he almost frails like you would with a ukulele, you know, that multiple banjo, finger playing, frailing.
Yeah.
He does that on a steel string guitar, you know. There was, Norman, talking to Norman Watt Rye about Wilkes. He got the point, sometimes he'd feel he hadn't had a good gig if he wasn't bleeding.
Right.
In the dressing room at the end. He thought it was a quiet one.
Fingers?
Yeah.
Yes, I wonder if he's got a lot of calluses up and down his hand.
You imagine what Wilco Johnson's fingers must feel like on his playing hand. If he ran his rhinoceros-like fingers across your gentle face, James.
Yeah, well,
sad-eyed face.
That's woken me up, you know, my sad-eyed face.
Sad-eyed lady of the lowlands.
Oh, marvellous. Yeah, so listen to some Gang of Four. They're marvellous. They're good lads.
And before then, I played...
Yeah, that piano track. Wow.
Shida Shahabi from an album called Shifts that came out on Singer Songwriter, and the track was called Janvi. And I don't know much about her.
Well, you do, because Mojo.
Oh, yeah, no, there's a review from Mojo. Yeah. Stephen's got like the Mojo database on his phone, and he looked her up.
Yeah.
And he's handing it over, and it says, "Summoning music from the very bowels of the piano, the out of focus opacity. A simple affecting melodic figure." Don't interrupt the
Mojo. That's why you don't
read Mojo. I can't interrupt the Mojo. The thing is, what stuns me is that Stephen is wearing not only a Mojo t-shirt, but a Mojo hat as well. Seems to be over-egging his Mojo pudding.
I want them to acknowledge Triassic Task. just one review.
You know, years ago I was in a band called Huckleberry. No, Miracle Head it was.
Yeah.
You were in a band called Huckleberry as well.
I was, but this is a different band. And the guy, they printed our name wrong in the paper.
Uh-oh.
So Mike, who was in the band, phoned them up and left an abusive message on the machine. And then the next day we had a gig in Air. Somewhere.
What did they call you?
They called us the Mighty Poets, because we called ourselves the Mighty Poets Miracle Head.
You know what? I can see that.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, I didn't care. I didn't ring them up.
You didn't mind?
I didn't ring them up and shout and tell them.
Michael Fella sounds like something of a liability.
But the next day, we were playing a show in Air, and the phone went, and the barman said, "Is anyone here called from the Mighty Poets?" And I thought, well, I'll get it, you know. So I went and got it, and the guy said, "Are you from the Mighty Poets?" I said, yeah, that's me. Yeah. He said, "Well, it's such and such from the Enemy here.
Oh,
I'm just phoning up to tell you that because of the abusive message you left, you are banned from every music publication ever coming out of London." And then he hung up. So that was quite cheery pre-gig message.
The arrogance of that, that someone from the enemy thinks I could speak for sounds.
Well,
dick.
The funny thing about it was the same guy, whose name I won't mention now, ended up phoning me up and we did an interview about the Green Man Festival.
Yeah.
And of course I didn't say...
And he
say
was none the wiser.
Well, maybe he was, maybe he didn't care about it. I mean, I didn't mention it to him because I thought, well, why bother? But you might hear this and think, hang on a second. I've seen his name in the newspapers coming out of London. I'll have a word with him.
Yeah. Whatever happened to the Mighty Poets?
The Mighty Poets. It was named after the Mighty Poet Iroy, you know, from the LKJ song Street 66, the Mighty Poet Iroy was on the wire.
Yeah.
So we split up because we were caca.
I've been listening to a lot of you, Roy, I have to say.
Papa Uroy.
Wait a minute, were we not talking about...
Look, we've cheered him up after his Gang of Four story.
Yeah.
What was Uroy's? Oh,
Uroy.
Uroy.
Uroy. That was just called Uroy. Yeah. I love that.
What did you play, Stephen, at the beginning?
That thing.
Big Thief.
No. Haven't mentioned Big Thief.
We haven't mentioned Big Thief.
Song number two, which was the really sort of nice, sort of soft country thing.
It's called Cat's Tales, which is quite a difficult word to say.
Cat's tails.
Cat tails.
Yeah. So it's two words, right?
Singular tails.
No, I think it's one word.
Cat tails.
Cat tails. Rat tails.
Cat's tails by Big Thief.
All right. Big Thief.
Yeah.
Okay. Are they Jamaican?
I think so.
Well, it's good to have some reggae on the show. That was a very good song.
Yeah, and that was one of my favourite songs of last year.
And then
I know I've said this before, but yeah. Kids love
him. He said the R word, so I'm going to drum some up.
And right, shall we move on? What's
I've got a Brazilian record here. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it when you play Brazilian records.
Well, actually, it was I only brought this out because you were talking about going before.
Thank you.
that was the wedding present with Felicity.
Nice.
We were talking about really that. Phil and I were getting quite excited about that.
Really nice.
I was miming the guitar.
You would. So songs like that were so you covered in your...
In the early days. Well, before I was in those bands with Mike. Yeah. That's the sort of stuff I was really, really into.
Yeah.
I mean, they were a fun band when you were at school because you could learn their songs in no time at all.
Yeah.
That George Best album's brilliant.
It's just fantastic.
And of course he tours now.
Just knocks along. Well, I don't know if they're still doing it, but they used to kind of do gigs where they just do George Best in order. No pausing, no nothing, wallop, right the way through.
I saw them do that at a festival in Germany, maybe?
Nice.
Somewhere like that. I was on the bill, and they were on after me in a bigger tent. And it was great. Sea of Bald Heads.
Oh, naturally, yeah. Naturally. Yeah.
But people up and down, you know, enjoying it.
Yeah.
So it's just him and sort of... I don't think it's like the original members.
No, I don't think so, no. Before that was Time Is Tight from Black Market Clash, the 10-inch album. Just cue away, mate. And what did you play before that? That was that mad Brazilian thing.
Liverpool, Dance to Shuva, or something like that.
And it was quite short. What was that, a single? What was that?
It's a six-track EP from a film soundtrack about a school kids' film.
Okay, this is the end of the podcast.
When is this podcast coming out, James Yorkston?
Tomorrow.
Okay, so for those of you that listen today, who are in Scotland, I'm doing some gigs next week in Scotland.
What are you doing? Where
I'm
are you going?
Playing on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Wednesday I'm in Edinburgh. Thursday I'm in Stirling.
Feather Boots.
And Friday I'm in Glasgow. And they're poetry gigs. If you go online search for Sonnet Youth. That's a Scottish poetry collective called Sonnet Youth, and they do regular monthly gigs, and they were very kind enough to invite me to come along and play with them. So
where is it? Stirling? Is it the Tollbooth?
It is not. It's a they're tiny gigs, so we're just queuing things up there.
That's actually putting some romantic music on whilst you're talking
at the wrong speed.
Yeah. Yeah, try and do your poetry over that, eh? It's poetry gigs, it's not comedy gigs.
Yeah, so I put it back to its normal speed.
Oh, okay.
Do you know where those
went well?
Do you know where those gigs are?
No.
No, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, if you want to Google. Okay.
I mean, I could look it up on my phone.
No, it's all right. Stephen can do it.
Let's find the mystery.
Oh, I see.
No, don't do that.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, I have to tell you a story. I'll tell you the story.
Yeah, in a minute.
Okay, bye, everyone. Good luck.
Thank you.
God bless. Thanks for listening.
Cheers.